So I did a little digging to see what people were predicting for 2024, because I thought, you know, maybe that'll be just a fun little way to start off this week's show here with Sheldon Pierce and Hazel Sills. And but everything was just super depressing. I couldn't come up with anything, not least among them, the fact that people are already predicting that Travis and Taylor are going to split up.
Oh, man.
I know. And I was thinking, like, I was maybe hearing wedding bells. I don't know.
Too soon.
So I guess I'll just say that this is our 2024 preview show, where we gaze into our crystal ball and flag and talk about some of the most anticipated albums of the year. There are many, but let's start with one that's coming up really soon, and it's one I know we're all excited about. It's Slater Kinney's Little Rope. This is the song Untidy Creature.
I heard the click of a tiny cat. Close my eyes and you found the latch. I looked up and saw the bars intact. Locked up tight, the perfect trap. A rattle and shake inside. But I can't escape tonight.
So this one from Slater Kinney, Little Rope, it's out January 19th, so coming up right away. I think it's one we're all pretty stoked about. But Hazel, this is one that you brought to the table.
Yeah, I am, you know, super excited for this. Obviously, you know, Slater Kinney hit it out of the park every album. But there is a very intense, devastating story behind the recording of this album. In the fall of 2022, Carrie Brownstein learned that her mother and her stepfather had been killed in a car accident while they were vacationing in Italy, and Corin Tucker had previously been listed as Brownstein's emergency contact on a passport form, who then had to relay to her that the Italian embassy, you know, was looking for her. And so some of this album had already been written, but, you know, the kind of tragedy, this intense tragedy that Brownstein and Tucker had both kind of experienced in different ways began to seep its way into the recording of this album. And, you know, I've heard this album in full, and it is such a fierce, intense record with so many incredible songs and even some kind of like energetic, like almost danceable ones that really remind me of their 2015 album, No Cities to Love.
Yeah, I mean, I've sort of been, because of the very, very intense backstory behind this record, I've sort of been putting it off, even as a big Slater Kinney fan. But, you know, you sort of mentioning No Cities to Love gives me sort of great optimism for this record. I love that record. I think that's the best of their sort of reformation records.
Yeah.
And I do hear some of that in this single. There is something really powerful about taking a moment of tragedy and sort of finding any sort of optimism in the wake of that. I mean, to have this record come on the heels of such a personally devastating thing and be born into the climate, as Robin has sort of hinted out at the open, like to have personal tragedy mount in the wake of like calamity everywhere you turn, it can feel overwhelming. But I do think there is sort of a sense of optimism that lingers throughout their music, and I'm really hopeful that it carries through this album. Every Slater Kinney record feels like a gift, but it seems like for them to deliver this one amidst all of that is really something special.
Yeah, I mean, I think really long-time diehard fans might disagree with me, but they're a band that I think since they came back, it's been almost a decade. You know, they broke up and then they came back in 2015, so they've been back for almost a decade now. I feel like they've been putting out some of their best work in the, in the past decade. They actually, I feel like they came back even better than they were before. We each brought a few things that we want to play and talk about, so we'll just go around the table here and we'll each share what we have. Sheldon, what do you got?
Yeah, my first pick is going to be from The Smile, the Radiohead sort of offshoot. Their second album, Wall of Eyes, is out January 26th.
Let's hear the title cut. You know, Sheldon, you say the Radiohead side project. If you Google what people are talking about around this record and this band, that one of the first things you see in the results is The Smile actually Radiohead? You know? And I'm listening to this, and I'm like, no, it's not. And then those strings come in. I'm like, well, maybe.
Yeah, well, but, you know, it is the first sort of Radiohead adjacent music to feature two members of the original band in Thom Yorke and Johnny Greenwood. They match up with Sons of Kemet drummer and co-founder Tom Skinner. And I think you can make a pretty compelling case that it is the best Radiohead music outside of Radiohead. Those guys do a lot of work outside the band, but it's in part because of what you mentioned, because of what people on the internet are saying. It sounds so close to Radiohead. But there is something, to your point, just a little askew about it.
Right.
I do think The Smile stuff is a bit more buoyant, thanks in part to Tom Skinner. But there is like an eerie fog that hangs over The Smile music. And you can describe a lot of Radiohead music as spooky. And even the title Wall of Eyes seems to hint at like this panopticonic, like mass surveillance state energy. And the spooky Radiohead stuff is my favorite Radiohead stuff. I really love this band's first record. The many different directions it moved, the many different shapes it took, it just seemed so freeing for these guys to be able to work on this stuff together without the expectations that hang over a Radiohead record. And I think as a result, they created some of the most interesting stuff that they've done in recent years.
Yeah, when you said spooky, I was like, I really feel like that's the Johnny of it all.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
I mean, like, I mean, I'm so in love with his scoring work for so many incredible films. And when you said like fog over the music, I was like, well, that's sort of the fog that he lends to so many of the movies that he's, you know, made music for. And that was, I don't know, the first thing that I thought of.
Yeah, I mean, the lines between Radiohead and The Smile are pretty blurred. I was trying to think of differences. Maybe Radiohead is rooted in slightly bigger concepts, maybe more elusive ideas, maybe more polyrhythmic with more chopped up stuff. But it's, I will say listening to this new record, Wall of Eyes, those lines are even more blurred for me now on some of these tracks.
Yeah, I think this record definitely even closer to the Radiohead stuff than the first record.
Yeah.
But even with that, even with all the connections to the Radiohead stuff, I think it feels so distinctly weird in its own way. its connection to the Radiohead music makes it interesting, but I think it exists apart from that and has its own merits.
Hazel, you mentioned Johnny Greenwood's scores. He's done so much with Paul Thomas Anderson. There's a great Paul Thomas Anderson video for the title cut to Wall of Eyes that everyone should check out too. It's really beautifully done. So that's out January 26th. On February 2nd, there's a new Brittany Howard album that I'm very excited about. Of course, she's best known for fronting the band Alabama Shakes, you know, which actually Alabama Shakes, they haven't had an album out in nearly a decade.
Yeah.
Her first solo album, Brittany Howard's first solo album, came out almost 5 years ago. It was called Jamie. That was in 2019. So I was very excited when her new one, What Now, was announced just this last fall. I want to play the title cut.
I don't want to confuse you for fulfillment. I don't want to wonder what I love is. I might be the one to cause you trouble. Questions you don't want, no. I wonder if I'm here just so I'm not alone. It's painful, but I might as well say sorry.
You know, I think reinvention and big swings were both recurring themes of 2023. And from what I've heard so far of the Brittany Howard record, it sounds like she's absolutely doing the same. You know, I think if you listen to Jamie, there were inklings of the direction she was headed in. You know, I don't think you listen to this new record, What Now, and it's like a colossal surprise or left turn for her, but just more evolved, you know. Her sound is getting a little bit bigger. The grooves are so deep. You know, it's just bold and fearless and a big sound. I just absolutely love it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I like and respect the Alabama Shakes stuff. It is really extremely competently produced. But to me, Jamie was such a personal statement for Brittany Howard. So deeply invested in her story, so close to the vest. It felt like she was making an album that she's sort of been carefully holding on to for years and finally setting it free into the world. Listening to some of the songs on this new record, it feels like having the opportunity to set that aside has really opened her up and allowed her to explore the full range of her sound. I mean, this is a funk rock jam that is undeniable. Like, it hits you square in the chest when you listen to it. Just her voice at full throat, completely in command of everything that she's been able to do in the past, and unleashing, it feels like, her full potential on this one.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned her voice. She's such an incredible vocalist and performer, and not just hearing, like, the full, you know, range of her voice, but also just like her having fun and like the looseness of the music. And WNXP's Julie Height did an interview with Brittany Howard that NPR Music published last year. And I know she talked with Julie about, you know, really not wanting to be put in a box anymore and how freeing it is to sort of get to this place in her career where, you know, with every album she puts out, people can sort of wonder, like, well, what is she going to do next? Like, what are we going to hear next? And I can hear that kind of freedom that you're talking about, Sheldon, in the music that she's making now. It seems like she's fully transcended the Alabama Shakes sound and style and can kind of, you know, really express more sides of her personality and more sides of her, you know, musical approach, like, on her own terms.
What Now's the record from Brittany Howard on February 2nd. I think it's going to be a big one this year, even though it's right at the beginning of the year. I think I can say that.
The year's only a few months. What are you talking about?
All right, Hazel, what do you got next?
Yeah, so another album that I'm really excited for this year is a new record from Mary Timoney called Untame the Tiger. And I'm going to play her song, The Guest.
Mm-hmm. try to say goodbye, but you insist. You insist.
What a great opening line. Hello, loneliness.
Yeah. Yeah. She basically personifies loneliness in this song as the guest who's always knocking on your door and wanting to come in.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big album for her. I mean, it's her first solo album in 15 years, which is kind of crazy to me. But obviously, you know, in the years since, she's been very busy. You know, obviously, like, I met, like, a lot of people. You know, I first fell in love with Mary Timony as the front woman of the 90s band Helium. And I've loved, you know, kind of every project she's been a part of since. Her group XX, she put out an album with Gary Brownstein as Wild Flag. You know, she just has this incredible career as, like, a very kind of dry, cynical songwriter. And also being, like, a renowned guitarist, basically a guitar god in my mind. And, yeah, this album, you know, she says came after the dissolution of a long-term relationship. And it was also recorded during a two-year period where she was caretaking for both of her ailing parents. And so this album was kind of like an anchor for her in that time. And yeah, I just think there's such a beautiful kind of lightness to the album. I mean, that song, The Guest, has this kind of like country twang. It feels, you know, very light for someone who I think of as like producing or has produced very like shred heavy songs across her career. And yeah, I'm just excited to see her return to her solo moniker. And like, really, I feel like that's kind of been the space across her career where she's made her most personal work and her most intimate work. And yeah, I'm excited for this one.
Just listening to this, it sounds in a completely different realm from what I know of Mary Timony. To Hazel's point about being just like this guitar god, a true shredder.
I was also a Helium fan, particularly the noisier stuff. Hazel, is the rest of the record kind of jangly? And
yes, it's definitely janglier and like sort of, I don't know, soft. It just feels like, because I mean, I don't know if you remember, like when she first came out with her solo work in the early 2000s, it had kind of this like renaissance flair. It was kind of critically disregarded at the time, or like critically panned. But this, I don't know, this sort of, it's not as hard as like the Wild Flag stuff or the XX stuff, but feels a lot more singer-songwriter-y.
Yeah. Okay, that record again from Mary Timony, Untame the Tiger, out February 23rd. Sheldon, what do you got?
Yeah, my next album is from the reggae producer and dub pioneer Lee Scratch Perry. It's called King Perry. It's out February 2nd, and this is I Am a Dubby. You know, Lee Scratch Perry was as essential to the development and expansion of Jamaican music as any other artist. Whether in his band The Upsetters or in the studio he built in his backyard, The Black Ark, he was a prolific and also eccentric artist who sort of never stopped testing the limits of his sound. And, you know, that continued up into his until his death in 2021. In the few days of the pandemic, he sort of wrote and recorded this, which is being billed as his final album. So they don't seem to be intending to let anything else go. It will be released on the Tricky label, False Idols, and the British rapper and producer produced two of the songs on it with Perry in his final moments. In this sort of last artistic statement, Perry wanted to sort of push dub music, which is sort of, you can hear it on that song. He's known for remixing a lot of songs, sort of reinventing them, transforming them, mutilating them in some cases. But he has always been this experimental artist, sort of looking to see how he can incorporate new sounds into things. What reggae was before his influence and after are two entirely different things. Listening to the record, it's sort of exciting to hear an artist at his age, a legend, with nothing left to prove, sort of still trying to reimagine this thing that he helped create. And he just continues, even in his final breaths, to try to think of the next iteration of this thing, how it can be even bigger than the thing that he created.
I just feel like that's so rare to get that. I mean, posthumous releases can be weird.
To say the least.
But it seems like this was sort of such a deeply forward-thinking album. It's just really beautiful that we get to have this project and that it's being released into the world.
Yeah, I mean, to that point, not a lot of artists get to go out on their own terms.
No, exactly. That's what it is.
Statement be the one that they want to make to the world. Yes. And for him to get that opportunity to not only say, okay, this is sort of my musical last will and testament. I leave this to you, my fans, and to whoever will carry the torch for dub music going forward. He also has sort of taken this opportunity to lay out what he wants for the music in the future. And I mean, it is as interesting and as intricate as anything he has worked on his whole career.
King Perry from Lee Scratch Perry is out on February 2nd. I want to do one that is by one of my all-time favorite bands. Anyone who's listened to this show going way back in the time machine will remember maybe a long-running and recurring joke about how much I love the band Granddaddy and Jason Lytle, who fronts the group, and nothing has changed. I still do. Very, very much so. I was absolutely over the moon when I found out that the Granddaddy was coming back with a new album. It's called Blue Wave. It's the first one from the band in 7 years. This is the song Ducky, Boris, and Dart.
Ducky, he actually was a big deal, even being so small and found in a field by me on that summer day, headed for home. And for a short and sweet time, I wasn't alone. Well, thank you, my friend, but this ain't the end. We will meet aboard a boat headed north, and he thought, oh Lord, this is no place for someone like me. And I'm sorry to say, he was swept out to sea. Well, thank you, my friend, but this ain't the again.
So in addition to writing dystopian songs about broken technology and AI and depressed robots and things like that, Jason Lytle, something that you don't hear people say about him top level, he's an animal lover. He had this incredible song on one of his solo albums called Ghost of My Old Dog. Just so heartbreaking and beautiful. This song, Ducky, Boris, and Dart, it's all about real animals that came into his life. Ducky was a kitten he found in an almond orchard while he was out riding his bike one day. Boris was a cat that he read about that had traveled around the world with a sailor on a boat. And Dart, poor Dart, Dart was a bird that flew into the windshield of his pickup truck one day. I don't think Dart made it either. But I'll try not to go too long on all the reasons why I love Jason Lytle and Granddaddy. But I'll just start with the fact that he's a fantastic storyteller. I think you hear it in that song. His songs are very much about average people, very average people, unremarkable people, trying to make it through the world in very unremarkable ways, but very relatable ways. There are very few heroes in his songs, almost no heroes, in fact. His music kind of unfolds like Raymond Carver stories to me, like he'll just drop you in a moment without a whole lot of context, and you just sort of live in that moment with this character, and then you're pulled out of that moment without any real resolution necessarily. You know, like, okay, everything's tied up with a bow. But really, really love his music. This, I think, this album made me think a little bit about the Mary Timony one. Granddaddy, he's gotten very noisy in the past too and chaotic. He pulls way back on this one. It is a little janglier. It's got more of a country flair to it. He uses pedal steel for the first time on the record.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not hip to Granddaddy. I was going to ask you, Robin, what is the sort of Granddaddy starter pack if I'm trying to get into Granddaddy before this record?
Yeah, they had a moment back in 2002 when that movie, the zombie movie, 28 Days Later, came out because they had a song in it called AM-180. And it was like, you know, in the early 2000s, you getting a song in a movie or a TV show or something, that was like your big break. And it looked like things were going to break open for this band. But nature ran its course, and it did not. You know, and the band ended up breaking up. And, you know, I think if I remember correctly, Jason Lytle said at the time he just couldn't go on being responsible for the welfare of these other guys in the band and trying to make a living for them. And so he went solo for a while, and then they brought the Granddaddy moniker back. It is still largely a one-man project these days. My personal favorite album and a great place to start is The Software Slump, or there's another album called Just Like the Fambly Cat that is also really awesome. But, you know, I think if you are a longtime Granddaddy fan, you're going to love this new album, Blue Wave. And if you are not, this is not a bad place to start either. So we got to take a break, but when we come back, we'll have more of the most anticipated releases of 2024. It's All Songs Considered. I'm Robin Hilton. I'm here with NPR Music's Azel Sills and Sheldon Pierce. We're talking about the most anticipated albums of 2024. We were only able to confirm releases basically up through maybe about the end of March. There are a few things in April we're fairly certain about, but things start to get pretty fuzzy after that. Tons of rumored releases, though. Should we just mention a few before we get back to playing some stuff?
Yeah.
Hazel, I know you. There's one that you are hoping is true.
Looms large every night I go to sleep.
I think we're all hoping this one comes.
So it has been a little over 8 years since Joanna Newsom released an album. But in the past year or so, there have been hints that she is working on or preparing new music. In March of last year, she did a surprise set as Fleet Fox's opener, and she played 5 new tracks. And then she's also set to play at the Kilby Block Party this May in Salt Lake City. And the only thing I know really about those 5 tracks that she played back in March at that live set, Emma Madden reported on it for Pitchfork and said the songs were largely piano-based, which is crazy to me, given Joanna Newsom is like the greatest harpist ever.
Right.
This is truly, truly rumored, but I am desperately, desperately hoping that we get new Joanna Newsom music this year.
Same. Sheldon.
Yeah, one that is less a rumor and there's more a question about just when it will come out. The rapper, Chance the Rapper, has been teasing a new album called Starline Gallery for about 8 months or so. He hasn't released a record since The Big Day in 2019, which was much maligned by fans and critics after a sort of like critical and cultural peak in 2016 with Coloring Book. But over the course of the last few years, he's quietly released a lot of really interesting sort of B-sides to streaming that have sort of hinted at a bit of a return to form. I also think people have been writing him off unfairly. People have essentially called him a flop in the interim.
I don't believe it.
And I don't think it's true.
Well, I don't think it's true, but I also don't believe that they really think that, because I think he's someone that everyone's going to show up for.
Yeah, I do think it's one of those situations where you only need one great record to be right back in everybody's hearts. And I think given the stuff that he's been teasing in the interim, he's really still one of the most clever and talented lyricists that we have currently working. And so I think this is a grand opportunity to demonstrate that to everyone once again.
Well, the one I'm most excited about and 100,000% rumor,
super rumor
is maybe possibly a new My Bloody Valentine album. Kevin Shields, you know, who fronts the band, he did say a while back that they were working on new songs. I mean,
he says a lot.
I know. He did. You know, last year he released this custom guitar pedal, a fuzz pedal that I think is to sort of emulate the sound that he gets with his guitar. And he included a flash drive with some of those pedals that had a new song on it that people were flipping out about, an instrumental song. And sort of like Joanna Newsom popping up live, he did a performance with Dinosaur Jr. in London late last year, and they played a version of Just Like Honey, Dear God, Let It Be True. A new My Bloody Valentine album would be so awesome this year. There are many more rumored releases for 2024, more than we could mention. But Hazel, what else do you have that we can actually confirm?
Yes, another album that I am excited for this year is a new album from Hooray for the Riff Raff called The Past is Still Alive. And the song I'm gonna play off of it is the opener to the album. It's called Alibi.
You don't have to die if you don't wanna die. You could take it all back in the nick of time. Maybe even be a good friend of mine. Baby, I hard to find a wash in the sand on the beach of time. Baby, I yeah, know you know that time can take you for a ride, can take you by surprise. Maybe you're all snake eyes. Baby, tell me why you gotta play your luck. Do aces call you bluff? I love you very much and all that other stuff.
You know, I love a cowboy. I love a wanderer. I love a traveler. And
more country flair. That's we're getting this new batch of records.
I know. I should leave New York and go down south. But Alinda Segarra, who is, you know, the front person and sort of, you know, the brains of Hooray for the Riff Raff, is just so incredible on this album and has really just like consistently impressed me with their last few releases. You know, they are an artist who kind of sits in between a bunch of different genres. Like, you know, sometimes they're more folky, sometimes they're more indie rocky. They're an artist who is always tackling like kind of big thinky ideas, like a very wide range of like political and social messages and topics like gentrification and addiction and incarceration. And on this album, The Past is Still Alive, you know, the reason I mentioned cowboys at the beginning is it really kind of draws on their youth growing up in New York City and then leaving home at 17 and kind of hitchhiking across the country before landing in their home of New Orleans. And it, you know, was also recorded the month after the death of their father. But it's just a really beautiful album that kind of crawls all across America or is like you know, kind of traveling all these different scenes, you know, in the different corners of the country and, you know, from like Nebraska to New York City to San Francisco, and just really beautiful songwriting. And I don't know, Alinda is just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, you mentioned the songwriting, and that's what immediately struck me listening to Alibi. It feels like an attempt to like talk somebody off the ledge. Mm-hmm. And Sigouris wrote the song as an ode to their father, who passed away, I think, a month before they started recording this project. And it really feels like an attempt to reconcile an unreconcilable situation, to try to speak to something that's already passed. And the idea of like copping to somebody's alibi in that situation is such powerful, profound imagery.
Yeah, definitely opening up more, wouldn't you say, Hazel, on this album than at any time?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I mean, their last album, Life on Earth, was this really kind of beautiful, kind of synth-driven album that they kind of refer to as like nature punk is what they coined their style of music. And, you know, I think the sound of this record, which is so much warmer and so much country, more country-driven, more folk-driven, I think is a really elegant pairing to the sort of personal histories that they're mining, as opposed to, you know, kind of those bigger political ideas.
Yeah. I didn't know that Alinda had run away from home essentially at 17 and hitchhiked across the country, and then, you know, all the adventures that they lived through. That I can't get my 12-year-old to walk to the library, you know, three blocks away by himself. I just can't even imagine.
A few years, Robin. Yeah, you never know what'll happen.
I'm going to tell him when
teenagers.
When he's 17, I'm going to say, you know, you're running away now. All right, that's just, we're done. The past is still alive, is the Hooray for the Riff Raff record, out February 23rd. Sheldon.
Yeah, my next record is the Serpent with Feet record called Grip. It is out February 16th, and this is the song Spades.
I'll always show up for an artist who turns conventional forms sort of inside out or, you know, on their head. And that's something he's always done around R&B, you know, just making it all a little strange and dreamy. Is that something that he leans into even more on this record?
You know, honestly, I think the opposite. I think, you know, as somebody who's followed Serpent with Feet since his 2018 debut, Soil, I mean, to your point, he's always been this sort of experimental soul musician toying with the idea of R&B, sort of referencing gospel, which his mother was a choir director. But there's always been a spectral quality to it.
That's a good word. Yeah.
This music is, to me, a little less formless and a little more accessible than the last two records that he's done. Which is not to say, like, this is not pop R&B by any stretch.
Right.
And he is still tinkering with the form in a lot of very interesting ways. But I think this record puts his voice forward at the center in a way that his previous records haven't. I think those two records, it kind of felt like he was hiding his voice in the mix in pursuit of this almost hallucinatory effect. And this is the closest to being a front and center, like, spotlight musician I think Serpent with Feet will ever get.
Yeah.
And as a result, you get this sort of more robust record that maintains that sort of fragility, that intimacy that comes with his previous two records, but I think will be a little bit more inviting to those who maybe found those a bit harder to grasp.
Yeah, I agree. When I first listened to this, I don't know, because I think of him as being this kind of experimental artist.
Yeah.
And it feels like with each new album, it's not that he's shedding that experimental sound, but he's sort of, I mean, maybe coming closer to a center, or yeah. I don't know. Like, yeah, like as you said, it's not pop art.
Right.
By any means.
By no stretch.
But there's like a song on this album with Ty Dolla $ign. Like, it's, yeah. It feels like it is a moving towards a space of more accessibility than what I've heard from his music in the past, which is exciting because it's been thrilling to watch the ways in which not just his music has grown, but like his star has grown and like the people that he's collaborated with and the ways in which he's expanded his music. But yeah, when I first gave this album a spin, I was like, oh, this feels more accessible, like poppier to me than the stuff that he's done. But again, not like as much as it could be.
Right. There's more traditional sort of song structures mm-hmm. on this record than in the past few records. And I think even the presence of, to your point, Ty Dolla $ign, like there's a Mick Jenkins feature on this record,
yeah.
which like that's not like going out and getting Lil Durk, but it is an acknowledgement of the industry at large
yeah.
in a way that I don't think he was doing on previous records. That said, it still has the same qualities that made his original music so sort of under the surface. He's almost felt hidden from the rest of the R&B landscape in a way. And it's sort of been hard to classify him as that up until this point, I think, even though it was clear that those were his touchstones. But this record, I feel like he is officially leaning into that designation in a way he hasn't in the past.
Grip Again is the album from Serpent with Feet, out on February 16th. I want to talk about the new Chelsea Wolfe album that's coming out on February 9th. It's called She Reaches Out to She Reaches Out to She. I didn't stutter. It's She She Reaches Out to She Reaches Out to She. Chelsea Wolfe, a guitarist who just makes the most gloriously fuzzed out, noisy, thunderous rock, super dark and gloomy. In all the ways that I love. I read the New York Times referred to her as a goth crooner, mm-hmm. which I thought, okay, that works too. this is the opening cut to her new album. It's called Whispers in the Echo Chamber.
Whispers in the echo chamber of my mind, and the void they come alive and intertwine, and the void I saw all I ever wanted, beyond dreams.
Oh my goodness. I love Chelsea Wolfe so much. I just find her music to be so transporting and cathartic. You know, if every window in your house is not shaking when you have this on, you clearly don't have it loud enough. This album in particular, She Reaches Out to She Reaches Out to She, it's all about confronting the past and rebirth. It's a theme that, you know, it plays out in the title alone. It's very circular, right? You know, it's a play on the idea that progress and healing and change in life is, it's never a straight line.
Yeah.
It's cyclical. And One of the things I think is particularly interesting is the idea that all the different parts of ourselves, who we were, who we are, who we want to be, they're always in dialogue with each other. And also, it rocks so hard.
Yeah.
So. I would think you're a Chelsea Wolfe fan, Hazel, yeah?
You know, I have never really gotten super deep into her music, but I also know that I probably would be a fan, especially because of what you just played.
Yeah.
Like, this is music for stirring your cauldron, which I do every morning when I make my oatmeal in my cauldron. But that's such a beautiful sentiment about those three sort of parts of yourself, your future self, your past self, who you are right now, being in dialogue with each other. Like, as you were saying that, I was kind of like rocking back and forth in the studio, like, whoa. Yeah, it sounds like an incredible record.
Yeah, I mean, that, to bring it full circle, this is the, of the songs we played, this song feels like 2024 to me. It feels like a presentation of what is to come. It embodies everything that you talked about, Robin, in that sentiment of rebirth. I love the lyric in this song that this world was not designed for us, and I've been punished, I've been blessed. It really does feel like we are constantly living in that dual reality of being punished and being blessed, dealing with everything that is going on, bombarding us at all times, but also sort of embracing the joys of life, and sort of finding our ways through that at all times. And I think there is this great contrast in this song in particular of the doom and gloom of the sound itself, but sort of this like hopeful, almost ethereal quality in her voice. Mm-hmm. Those two, the friction of those two things pressing up against each other. It's just really, really exciting to listen to.
Yeah, I think everything you said so beautifully there, I think would apply to her whole catalog, really. I mean, I think I feel like I say this on every show I do. it's not depressing. I mean, this is not hopeless music.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. Yeah, to your point. She reaches out to She from Chelsea Wolfe. That's out February 9th. And we have one late edition that we just found out about that we want to include on the show because I know everyone's excited about it. It's from the Danish singer Erika de Kassier. The album called Still. This is our first sample from the album. It's a song called Lucky.
I felt it on my body so deep. You off in a nice way, and when I talk to you, you hear what I say. I walk by you real slow, really think they do, but they don't know. Time with you goes by too fast. Words that I could never ever tell ya. Do I like this? Do I like that? You make it real easy to love you right back. Lucky, lucky me, you look what I got. I don't worry, you got my back.
I think it's fair to say that Erika de Kassier is kind of on the brink of a moment, wouldn't you say?
Yeah,
I mean, especially
100%.
Especially after last year, you know, writing or co-writing most of the songs on that New Jeans record that I know we all really loved. Like, she really just knows how to craft songs that get their hooks into you.
100%. I mean, for the heads, she self-released her debut, the 2019 album Essentials, and if you heard the New Jeans stuff after you had heard her record, you would hear her instantly. A lot of sort of muted, dreamlike vocals. But there are few artists working in her sort of like quote-unquote alt R&B space that have better drum programming in their music. And it exists at an intersection of the Pink Panthers stuff, of like Shy Girl, a little bit of Kalila, but I think her knack for a pop hook, that an earworm that just burrows right into the center of your brain, is unlike anyone else. And I think this record may be her most infectious, and that's saying something.
Yeah, it's exciting to see an artist who has been working kind of on the fringes of a genre or different genres, or sort of like I would think is more underground or certainly not like a mainstream R&B or pop artist. And then their sound that they've cultivated so strongly across their career is bubbling up into spaces like, you know, Pink Pantherous's work and the New Jeans work that she co-wrote. And yeah, I think Robin, she really is like... this is going to be the sound of pop music, if not this year, then like next year.
So we'll go out on this from Erica de Castier, the album Still. Sheldon Pierce, Hazel Sills, thanks so much, y'all.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
And from NPR Music, I'm Robin Hilton. It's All Songs Considered.